All right, brethren, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. After the Lord Jesus finished praying in a certain place, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And if we truly pray, it'll be because Christ teaches us in spirit and in truth, because He leads us in prayer. It's the only way we can pray. He gets the glory for us being able to pray, just like He gets the glory in every other aspect of our salvation. It's not easy to pray. It's not just as simple as just saying words. Not at all. Our Lord teaches us here that the motive of the heart, the communion of the heart with God, is the most important thing in prayer. Look back up at verse 5. He says, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You see, Christ says here the hypocrites' motive is wrong. Their motive is that they love to be seen of men. That's their motive. Their motive. They stand in public places and pray with this objective. They want to be seen of men. That's the purpose. They want to be seen of men. And Christ said they have their reward. You know, a reward, a recompense here is a wage earned. And when they pray, they are not truly calling on God, but they're doing a work to be seen of men. And so they get the payment they want. They're seen of men. That's what they want. That's what they got. They're seen of men. But the Lord says to you who are His, to you that are born of the Spirit of God, He says, don't pray like the hypocrite. No, don't pray as the hypocrite to be seen of men. He teaches His child to pray to God our Father from the heart. Look here at verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Our Lord's not saying that we can only pray in a closet. That's not what the point here is. Our Lord doesn't prohibit us from praying in public worship, and He doesn't prohibit us from praying in a public place. He teaches us here that the motive of the heart is the thing that's important. You see, pray from the secret place of the heart. Pray from the closet of the heart, from the hidden inner man of the heart, that new man that's created of God. Close the door between you and men. In other words, don't pray to be seen of men. Pray to God the Father. Pray to be heard of God the Father. That's what He's saying. To be heard of Him. Prayer is between God our Father and His child. That's who prayer is between. God sees in secret. God sees the heart. He's looking on the heart. He's not looking as men are looking. He's looking on the heart. And so, and He rewards openly. He rewards in the heart. Men can't see that. But it's an open, it's open. And the Scripture says He'll recompense to us in the resurrection of the just. That's when all men are going to see who are His. In the resurrection of the just, when He resurrects His people. In that day, we'll be seen. We'll be openly seen and openly rewarded by His grace in that day. But we're not praying to be seen of men. If I'm in a restaurant, I can thank God for my food, and nobody ever knows I'm doing it. because it's not between me and anybody else. I'm not thinking other folks. I'm thinking God. And I'm praying to Him. I have my eyes open, my head up. Don't even have to move my lips. Pray from the heart. Thank God. Thank God. And it's not for other people to see. But the hypocrite, he think he can't pray unless he's making a show. Because he thinks that's, you got to do all that. If you hadn't done all that, you hadn't prayed, he thinks. Well, Christ says if you do all that, you hadn't prayed. You hadn't prayed. Now, the same applies to the words we speak in prayer. Look at verse 7. He said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they shall be heard for the much speaking. Vain repetitions is saying the same words over and over and over, chanting, you know, and praying for all day long and thinking that that's just the same as praying to be seen of men. That's praying thinking that if I do this and say enough words and repeat enough words, God will hear me that way. The Lord said, no. Some of the very best prayers that Christ commended and spoke of people's faith being great in the Scripture was just one and two words. That's all they were. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. If God's given you a heart to pray, then you pray, help, Lord. And that's all you can pray is help, Lord, to God in secret, from the heart. That's better than if a man prayed from morning till dark and just did it to be seen of men and just repeating vain repetition. The Lord says here, verse 8, He said, be not ye therefore like them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask Him. Look over at Romans 8. I want you to... True prayer is God-given. It's God-given. It's by the Spirit of God. It's put in the new heart that God's given. Look here, Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. You've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby. You see, it's by the Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. It's by the Spirit. You couldn't pray from a new heart, with the Holy Spirit of God given to you till you were given the Holy Spirit. Till you had a new heart. Then you cried, Abba, Father. It's of the Spirit. Look down at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit of God's interceding, helping us and interceding for us according to the will of God. Do you know what the will of God is? I don't. I don't know what God's will to do tomorrow. Or the rest of this day, I don't have any idea. But the Spirit of God does. And He can help our infirmities and intercede for us, and Christ intercede for us, knowing the will of God our Father. The true child of God really has prayed, really prayed, when there's just a groaning in the heart. You ever just had a groaning in your heart that you just couldn't really put into words, or didn't know what to pray, didn't know what to say, just need God to undertake for you? Listen to this. Lord, all my desire is before Thee. All my desire is before Thee. He knows it before you ever ask Him. All my desires before Thee. My groaning is not hid from Thee. He knows it. He said, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. I will hear. You know, we walk around as believers in a state, a constant state of dependence upon God, knowing our need of Him and His grace. And that's really the only way I know of that we can pray without ceasing, is that it's an attitude, it's a constant state of need that you have when you're born of the Spirit of God. And that's a true need. When your desire is for God to keep you and provide for you and do whatever is His will to do. That's the key, the secret motive of the heart. It's not to be seen of men, not to be just repeating words to be saying a prayer. That's not it. It's praying to God our Father with true spiritual communion of the Holy Spirit from a heart that He's united with Him. That's what it is. And then look at this. Now, our Lord gives us a pattern, and this is what I want to look at in depth here. He gives us a pattern. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He gives them a pattern here of prayer. He says, verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, He's not teaching us to pray these exact words. This is a model. This is a pattern. This is the disciples' prayer. This is the prayer He taught His disciples. The Lord's prayer is found in John 17. It's not the Lord's prayer. This is a pattern of prayer that He taught His people to pray. But He's not saying here, pray these exact words. This is the attitude. This is the true desire. This is the need of the child of God. And it's simple. It's sincere. It's spiritual. And it's short. It's without pretense. It's without formality. And it's without show. Prayer should never be a ceremonial, formal show. It shouldn't be that at all. It's so hard to pray publicly because you just about can't do it in the presence of men without consciously thinking about what you're doing. And that's bad. Don't you pray different at home when you're praying on your pillow than you do when you're sitting right here? See what I'm saying? It's honest when you're by yourself. All right, let's hear what the Lord says here. Now, first of all, verse 9. Pray after this manner. He says, our Father which art in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. Now, God's the Father of all men. He's the Creator. The Scripture says we're His offspring. We're His offspring. And all men ought to glorify God and ought to pray to God and ought to worship God. But God is our Father especially, the Father of His elect especially. God our Father chose us. Ephesians 1:5 says He predestinated us unto the adoption of children. He's our Father, we're His children. Because He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Look at Galatians 4 and chapter 4. How did you get this spirit to call on God and pray to God? Look at Galatians 4 and verse 4. Galatians 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ had to be made flesh. Christ had to be made under the law. Christ had to fulfill the law. Christ had to be made sin for His people, made a curse for His people, and redeem His people from the curse of the law in order that we might receive this spirit of adoption. Awful big price was paid, wasn't it, to give us the spirit of adoption? And look at here now. And because ye are sons, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's how we were made to pray. He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, praying, Abba, Father. And Christ says here, He's our Father. He's our Father. He's the Father of the Son of God, and He's the Father of every one of us here chosen of God and redeemed by Christ and born of His Spirit. He's our Father. Christ, when he after He went to the cross, He said, "Go to my brethren." When He arose from the dead, He said, "Go to my brethren and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." He's our Father. He's our Father. We're in the family of God. He's our Father. And look here, He's in the heavens. And when we pray, we acknowledge not only that God's our Father, we acknowledge He's in the heavens and we're on the earth. We're coming before God in humility, in lowliness, looking to Him as the Father, in reverence to Him as the Father. We're on the earth. The Scripture says, our God's in the heavens. He's done whatsoever He's pleased. And that's who our Heavenly Father. We're saying, our Father which art in heaven. Now that's a comfort. That's a great comfort. We have a Father in heaven who's able to do whatsoever He pleases. He's in heaven. He rules everything. Now look at Matthew 7 and look at verse 9. This ought to be great motivation to come and pray, make your petitions known to God. Look at Matthew 7 and verse 9. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him. So we come saying, our Father which art in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. Alright, look at this next thing. He says here, Matthew 6, verse 9, hallowed be thy name. That means holy. Holy be thy name. Sanctified be thy name. Not only are we children of God, we're worshipers of God. We don't just come to God flippantly and talk to God like you do anybody else. You come to God reverentially. You come to God sanctifying God. He's holy. We acknowledge that God's name and God's very being, everything He is holy. Holy. And that's our desire, is for Him to be honored and magnified and glorified. The Lord said this. He told Moses, remember when Nadab and Abihu decided they'd just approach God any old way? They came with strange fire that God said, He didn't tell them to come with that. And they thought, well, we just come to Him however we want to come to Him. And God turned them into smoke. He burned them up. And He spoke to Moses, and He told Moses, you tell Aaron their father. Tell him this. The Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified. In other words, my name will be hallowed. My name will be hallowed. My name will be sanctified. That's how you come before God. We don't call anybody else holy and reverent but God. Just God. You see men go around with the title reverend? There's only one reverend. The Scripture says He sent redemption unto His people. He's commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. His name's holy. His name's hallowed. The very purpose for which God sent His Son into this earth was to glorify His name. Christ prayed in John 17. He said, Father, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I've finished the work You gave me to do. That's why Christ came, was to hallow His name and glorify His name. So whatever you do, don't ever take the Lord's name in vain. Children, don't type OMG to your friends. That's taking His name in vain. Well, I didn't say the word. Yes, you did. Sure did. Don't take hallowed is His name. Look here now. Next thing He says, verse 10. This is what we pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. It means thy kingdom be established. Thy kingdom be established. We're praying for Christ our King to receive all the glory. We're praying for God's name to be hallowed. We're praying for Christ to receive all the glory. Because He's the King of the kingdom. When you see the kingdom of God, you got to have a king. in a kingdom, and that's Christ. And His people are subjects to the King in His kingdom. And we're praying for His kingdom to be established. It has, it is, and it shall be. His kingdom. We pray for Him to call every last one of His people. That's what we're praying. And we pray for Him to keep us and preserve us by His power and His grace forevermore. And He shall. Listen to this. He said, I've set my King on my holy hill of Zion. That's Christ Jesus the Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords. The Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. That's what we're saying when we say, Thy kingdom come. When we acknowledge Him to be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's King over ever. He's King of the President. And He's King of the King of England. And He's King of every king. He's the King of kings. One day, there will be no more kingdoms but His kingdom. All the kingdoms of the earth will be no more. There'll be one kingdom. That'll be His kingdom. His people. The days come, saith the Lord, and I'll raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper. A king. And shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He has come, and He is raised up, and He's that King. Remember Peter at the day of Pentecost, he said, Be it known unto you, men and brethren, God has made that same Jesus whom you crucified, Lord and King. Lord and Christ. He's the Lord. He's the King by God's decree. I don't make Him Lord, and you don't make Him Lord. God made Him Lord, and He's the Lord. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Look at Colossians 1:12. Here's what we're praying when we pray and we say, Thy kingdom come. We don't have to say those exact words. We're praying, Lord, establish your kingdom. You save your people by your grace. Lord, you glorify your name. And here's what we're doing. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us. You see that? He hath delivered us. Are you a believer? Cheryl, he hath delivered you. You say, well, he's going to yet deliver me? Yeah, but he already has. He has delivered you. From what? From the power of darkness. And he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. When we pray, we thank the Father, we thank, Lord, thank you that you've called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you that you've made me fit through the blood of Christ to be a partaker right now of the inheritance of the saints in light. We thank God, our Father, for doing this work. We're saying, Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom be established. That's what we're praying, without saying those express words. Thanking Him for His kingdom, for being the King and King of kings and Lord of lords, and calling us and established us in His kingdom. All right, look back now at verse 10 again. Matthew 6:10. I hope you see that. I got to thinking about this because I was thinking about some of I was thinking about how much difficulty I have praying. And I was thinking about some of our young believers. And I was thinking, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. I want you. The believer's going to pray. That's just the heart. I mean, you just have to pray. You'd sooner not be able to breathe than to not pray. But Lord, we need the Lord teach us to pray and lead us to pray. Now here's something else He said. He said, pray for this right here, verse 10. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This goes right along with praying for His kingdom to be established. Did you see what Brother Eric read? Christ said, this is the will of Him that sent me. He said, pray, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And when we're praying for God to establish His kingdom, call out His people, preserve His people, keep His people, we're praying for His will to be done. The Lord said, This is the will of Him that sent me, that of all that seeth the Son and believe on Him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. That's the will of the Father. When we're praying for His will to be done, we're praying, Lord, call out Your people. Work Your will. Give my heart to believe on You. We're praying, Lord, make Your people willing in the day of Your power. And we're not only praying for the lost sheep, that He called them out, we're praying for those He's already called out. Listen to the Hebrew writer. He said, now the God of peace that brought again our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Whom be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. You see, we pray for God to work His will to give the lost sheep a new heart and a willingness to believe on Him. And we're praying for those He's already called for God to give you a willingness and me a willingness to do that which is well-pleasing in His sight. To do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing. We're praying for Him to work His will in this earth. Now, I want you to think about this. What do you hear most people say prayer is? Most of the religious world are telling you prayer changes things. You pray and you get God to do what you want Him to do. Well, according to this right here, what I'm hearing Christ say right here is prayer is you submitting to God's will. Not trying to get God to do what you're willing Him to do. You submit to what God's willing to do. You see that? That's what true prayer is, surrendering to God's will. And if your prayer is, look at 1 John 5. If your prayer is for God's will to be done, you'll get what you pray for every time. Look at 1 John 5:14. Do you hear what I said? If you pray for God's will to be done, if that's all, sometimes that's all I can pray. Lord, just work Your will. Do what You're willing to do. You know what happens when you pray like that? When that's your soul desire, Lord, do as You will. You're going to get what you prayed for. Look here, 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, we're asking it according to His will, we want Him to work His will, and we know He hears us, then we know that whatsoever we ask, we have the petition that we desired of Him. You ask God to work His will, and you're going to have the petition you ask, because God's always going to work His will. That's what He's doing. He's going to always work His will. That's what we pray for. That's what Christ said pray for. Look here now, back at Matthew 6, look at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Brother Eric read there in John 6, Christ said, I'm the bread of life. He's the bread that God gave from heaven. He said, he that believes on me, he'll never hunger and he'll never thirst. Now, Christ is the bread of life in what He's made unto us. Life, Christ our life, is what He's made unto us. Everything involved in what He's made unto us. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's life. Christ our life. What He's made unto us. Now, God gave us Christ. He gave us life through Christ willing by His free gift of grace. That's what He gave to His people. Righteousness we didn't earn. Sanctification by Christ being formed in us. A new heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Redeemed us. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. He's going to yet redeem us when He comes again, redeem our bodies into His presence. He redeems you from your flesh, bringing you out from under the dominion of your flesh and giving you liberty to call on Him, believe in Him. If the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. This is the life. We don't ever hunger for wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, or redemption. We have it. Freely. That's what life is in Christ. To have everything He's made unto His people. Now, just as every spiritual blessing is a free gift, freely given by God's grace to whom He will, just as it's a free gift, daily bread is a free gift.
You can't. You don't have daily bread unless God gives it to you, and it won't even sustain your body if you do have it unless God sustains you with it. You ever see people who eat and eat and just get skinnier and skinnier until they die? My grandfather got cancer in January. In April, he was a rail. He was skinny as a rail. And it wouldn't have done him, it didn't do him any good to eat anything. He just, that was it. If God don't bless the food to your body, you're going to wither away to nothing. See, everything is dependent upon Him. But because He's given His people life in Christ, He's going to give His people daily bread for the sake of Christ. And so Christ says, now you ask Him to give this to you. And He says here, just ask Him for bread for today. Isn't it something He didn't say, ask Him for a Mercedes and ask Him for a wealth and all of, just bread for today. That's it. Luke put it this way, give us day by day our daily bread. Well, I better get anxious and worry about bread for tomorrow. If He gives you bread today, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. He'll give you bread tomorrow, just like He gave you bread today. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, the rest, you know what the rest is? The lust of the flesh. Most of what you're going to school for, and what you got your sights set on, and what you got, you like them cartoons where the dollar signs come up in their eyes. Ching, ching, that's what you got your eyes set on. Just lust of the flesh. Give us today our daily bread. Give me some liberty. Give me some freedom where I can worship God. Give me some peace where I can worship God. Give me the peace to draw near to God. You know, if you start out, Lord's called you, and He's called you to Himself, and you don't sit down and say, all right, I need to make it my determination. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to worship God. Every day, I'm going to read this book. Every day, I'm going to seek Him. Every day, I'm going to call on Him. Every day, I'm going to make it known to those around me, I'm not interested in being called aside and pulled aside and drawn away from Him. I'm following Him. Isn't that how we do everything else? If you're really set on doing something in this life, you plan it out. You let everybody know what your plans are. You can't be distracted from it. You got your sights set on it. You're going after it. Why do we not do that with the Lord? Why do we not do that with grace? It's more important than any of this other mess that you're fooling around with. Why do I just want bread for today? If I know He's giving me bread today, that's all I really need. I can be worry-free and worship God. All the stuff we got to do. All the stuff. I got so much to do. I got so much to do. There's only one thing you got to do. Are you doing that? Just one thing. Give us today our daily bread. Look at verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Our sins are debts. Debts that we owe to divine justice. That's what they are. When God sent His Son, and Christ went to the cross, and He paid all the debt His people owe. All the debt His people owe. He paid it in full so that there's no more debts for His people to owe. But God said, you continually sin, you're continually in your flesh, you need to continually be reminded of what you are and how you depend on Him. Continually be coming to God and confessing, I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you to forgive me of my debts. Scripture says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins. But if we say we don't have any sin, we make Him a liar, and the Word of God's not in us. The Spirit of the truth's not in us if we say we don't have any sin.
We need to be coming to God. See, this keeps you always at His feet, always asking Him, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. He's left us in these bodies of death on purpose, for that reason, to keep us at His feet. Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. But look here, that's not all. He says, every believer is to forgive men their trespasses against us. We need to be reminded of that too, don't we? Because we're constantly trespassing against one another. We're constantly, just like we're constantly sinning against God, we're constantly sinning against one another. And he goes on to say down there in verse 14 and 15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. What does that mean? The sinner who's been taught that in his flesh dwells no good thing. That sinner who God has taught that Christ, he needs Christ, he must have Christ, he must have that free forgiveness that's through the blood of Christ the Lord. That sinner who's been taught that knows how valuable free forgiveness is by God's grace. And that sinner, by God's grace, will forgive men their trespasses. But that sinner who won't forgive a man his trespasses, he could be as religious as he, as anybody you know, and look like he is the most righteous and holy and pious man on the face of the earth. But the fact of the matter is, he don't know a thing about forgiveness. He don't know nothing about grace. And that man, if he don't see his need of Christ, he don't see his need of forgiveness, and if he leaves this world in that state, he will not be forgiven by God. That's what he's talking about. We don't earn God's forgiveness by forgiving. That's not what he's saying. He's saying here, forgiving, being a forgiver, that's an indication that God's been gracious to you and taught you something about forgiveness. All right, look at this next thing, verse 13. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Why would we need to pray that? Because we're confessing all the time we're utterly helpless. That's what we're saying. We're utterly helpless. If the Lord doesn't lead me away from temptation, I'll be tempted. I'll fall. Temptation comes from me. It comes from my old flesh. That's what it comes from. He doesn't lead me away from it. I will fall. I need Him to deliver me from the evil. And the Lord will do that for His people. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me beside still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When He intercedes for His people, the Lord Jesus prayed. He said, I pray, Father, not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. That's His intercession. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, Paul told Timothy. And He'll preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom. He will. He's not going to lose one of His people. This is the will of the Father, that of all He's given me, I lose none, but raise it up in the last day. He will not lose one of His people. Not one of His people. So, now look at this last thing. We thank God, and we ascribe all glory to Him. All the time, in every prayer. Look at the last part there, Matthew 6. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know what that last word means there? Amen. That word is Christ's name. When you say amen, you're praying in the name of Christ. Amen is not just something you tack on at the end. Amen is Christ's name. If you didn't say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you said amen, you're praying in Christ's name. Listen to this. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's Revelation 3:14. That's Christ's name. The Amen. That's who He is. So we pray, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen. In Christ's name. Amen. All right, Brother Eric. I pray Christ would teach us to pray. Do you pray? You know, the older I get, the more I want to pray, the more I want to be alone and pray. And the older I get, the harder I find it is to pray.
I mean, it's easy to say words. I'm talking about pray. Pray. I pray he would teach us to pray.
All right.
Eric.